Ready? I'd like to bring the February 13th, 2024, Board of Trustees of Jerusalem Township meeting to order. I request a moment of silence, and we will recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, Bo Miller.
Present.
Alex Litton.
Present.
Dave Bench.
Present.
Guess we'll move on. Approval of the minutes for the January 23rd, 2024 regular meeting.
And those are the ones that you said we already approved.
No, we didn't approve the January 23rd. The 20...
Oh, the 3rd. Or...
The 23rd was our last meeting. I don't know why he put them other minutes in here, but he did.
Okay, all right. So you need a motion for the January 23rd.
Yeah.
Okay, so moved.
I'll second.
Roll call. Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench?
Yes.
Bo Miller made the motion. Alex seconded it. Bo, you want to do the fiscal officer's report?
Sure, not a problem. Okay, Joel is not here tonight. So we'll start off with the receipt listing. Total deposits since last meeting totals $39,309.38. Excuse me. Payment listings, electronic payment 10-2024 through 19-2024 and checks 22432 through 22506. Total checks written was $102,034.54. The fund status as of February 12th, 2024, you have $644,557.41 in your Start Ohio, $647,653.20 in your checking account, so it's a total of $1,292,210.61. And that is all I have for the fiscal officer report that he left. And
I guess we can approve it as read.
Any questions on that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
You need a second.
Oh, second.
Roll call. Alex Litton?
Yes.
Bo Miller?
Yes.
Dave Bench? Yes. Alex Litton made the motion. Bo Miller seconded it. Anything else on the fiscal? Anybody's worried?
No, I don't have anything else on the fiscal report.
Nope. Okay, we'll move on to the zoning department. I don't see anyone here from the zoning department. Nobody here from the rec department. No one here from the fire department. And no one here from the maintenance department. Boy, that's a first.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah.
It is a first in a long time.
Yeah.
And a thousand.
I guess the next one, the food pantry, and I don't think anybody's here from the food pantry. We are?
Yeah, I help out food bank all the time.
How's it going over there?
Doing good.
Yeah.
Okay. This is Gary Williams, and he and I have been talking about maybe trying to encourage them to do a report. Like how many people come, where they come from, and so tomorrow is a food bank.
Yeah.
So maybe we can actually have somebody produce.
And that was kind of why we invited them to come to the meeting, you know, even if it was quarterly or whatever, to give a report, just so we kind of knew, like,
or they can get the word out if they need anything, you know.
What were you telling me earlier? How many people used to come?
Yeah, it was the average, probably 150. I think we're down to 55 to 60 people now.
That use it?
Use it.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
So what kind of information is...
Yeah, I mean, that's... I knew at one point there was a lot of people
using. We need some tables really bad, too, because they're getting busted up. We got new chairs, which we didn't need the chairs, but we need tables.
Well, I know Kevin was talking to Richard Hozak about the food pantry, maybe buying a few tables. And then we were going to... The talk was buy a few new tables to replace some of them that we have and then leave the ones that are already kind of bowing for you guys for now.
Yes.
Because they are getting pretty banged up from all the weight on them. But I don't know where Kevin's at with that. I think the price of the tables were kind of sticker shocked when they looked at them. So.
Yeah.
He was working on it, though. I know that much.
He was working on it. Well,
anything else?
Thank you for giving us somewhat of a report. I mean, it's the most we've had in a long time, so...
Yeah, even if it's once a month, you know, it'd be nice, yeah.
Because that helps.
I've been there I think I've been there for 5 years now, so...
Good. Okie doke, I guess we'll move on to the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy. You're on. Yeah, if you would, and then the tape recorder picks it up better.
Okay, stand up here?
Yeah, be fine.
All right, so thank you very much for allowing me to come tonight. For those of you who don't know me, my name's Adam Hoff. I've been a member of the Reno Beach Howard Farms Conservancy Board for a little over 3 years now. Excuse me. So wanted to give you guys a quick update of where things stand, try to make sure that we keep our lines of communication open and then encourage that moving forward, of course. So one of the things that we've been working on is, and I talked to Kevin and talked to David about this, is, you know, working together with the township in terms of making sure that we're maintaining the tiles and some of the drainage that comes out to our pumping stations. There was a couple of spots where a couple of the culverts had gotten plugged up from time to time, and I know Kevin has also done some mowing for us to keep the banks clear, at least around the culverts. What I'm just giving you a heads up on is that we'll probably be coming back and continuing conversations on this to try to work with you guys to make sure that all the drainage stays open, is really what it comes down to. There's a portion of the county system that outlets into what appears to be the township system that then ends up coming into the lagoons. Of course, the lagoons are privately owned. We're trying to work through all of this stuff as we go. But at the end of the day, our job is to keep the pumping stations running and make sure that the water is able to get away and prevent surface flooding within the levee system that we have. So again, we'll be talking with you more as time goes by and trying to see if there's some things we need to do in terms of whether it's working with the county engineer's office or whomever to try to keep some of these tiles cleared out and make sure that all the culverts stay clear so the water can flow easily. So that was one piece I wanted to talk about real quickly. Another piece is, hopefully you guys are all familiar with it, but the report that was completed by CEC. Have you seen the final report? Have you received this at all?
The last thing I was involved in was at the last meeting here.
Okay.
And I don't think that was complete yet, was it?
Correct. We had the draft at that time. We just received the final copy just last week. And so one of the points of clarification that I need to get says, since Mark was spearheading that before on behalf of the trustees, who should we be coordinating this through? Is it... we prefer to have a single point, but I don't care if it's all three of you. It really doesn't matter.
Right. You know, at this point, I mean, it's, I think we should maybe, to kind of get our bearings going, maybe all three of us.
Sure.
Or have one point and they can relay the information, that's fine by me. But sure. I didn't, you know, Mark handled a lot of that grant.
Yep.
I don't think, Dave, you were involved in that very much either.
None
he kind
of us
took
were.
That and
sure.
ran.
Yep.
Because it was partnering with you guys on it. And it was basically, you guys needed the paperwork from us to be able to get the grant.
Right.
So, I mean, if you want to be, I can be a point of contact as far as relaying information to the other two trustees, but any decision making would be the three of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, that would
be
I mean, that I don't have a problem with that.
Okay.
I mean, if you guys are good with that, I mean, if somebody else wants to do it.
So, the information is available. It's a 20-some megabyte file, so it's not really convenient to email it.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's just an electronic form. What I can do is I'll get you guys a link where you can download it and be able to at least read through it as a PDF. And then moving forward, I mean, the findings are no different than what was presented back in December. So hopefully, I don't recall if, I know, Bo, you were there. I don't remember if everybody else, if,
I think all three of us were there.
Were you all three there?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I was gone.
Okay.
Are you, no, maybe, you were there.
Was
yeah.
I?
Yeah.
Okay. But in effect, as I think we're all kind of aware of, is that this area around here, you know, the lakeside levee, the Army Corps project levee is in decent condition. There's a couple of spots that need some repairs, namely along Ward's Canal, and that's one of the areas we're going to be focusing on as a district. But there's other portions that I refer to as the legacy levees, the old private levees that particularly run along Cooley Canal and then around the south side and then back up to the Howard Marsh Metro Park. There's some more significant areas in there that need to be addressed. So what we're going to be working towards is trying to pursue funding to help to get some of these issues resolved. Some of them are inside the district, some of them are outside the district. So what I was also hoping to be able to do is to find out who I could work with as a point of contact to try to go through that process. I mean, I don't have a problem working through the administrative side of things and filling out the applications, trying to pursue some of the funding, but just to have a single point of contact that again, would work directly through the board as a group to get it, you know, make sure everything is done above board and, you know, public record and everything else, but to have us in a position so that we can just move more efficiently to get through the process. And so I've been assigned that role on behalf of the district, and I just would like to have a single point of contact if I could, working with the trustees to kind of take Mark's spot on that one.
Do you guys have a preference at the moment? I mean, I would like to do it, but I'm still new and figuring things out, so I don't know how you guys would feel about setting me up with that, being I'm so new.
Well, I don't have an issue with that, Alex, at all, because I think you, being tied in with your career, you fit.
That's true, yeah.
And that's why, like, with the stormwater, I mean, that's that's right up your alley.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, you know most of that stuff before it even gets to them.
I walked into that room and I knew half the people in there, so that was kind of convenient.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't, that, and you're, I know, Adam, there's a lot of, probably going to be a lot of computer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, I think you've already proven me you're a little more computer savvy than me tonight. So, I don't have an issue with that at all.
Yeah.
I'm
game for being point of contact if that's all right with you.
Just as long as you contact us and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll loop in on everything.
Okay.
Because a lot of it's just going to be stuff that you're going to be bringing back to us that we'll have to make motions on or do in a public meeting and, you know, to allow the process to continue.
Now, I will tell you that we do have one funding application that's been submitted to, it went through the House of Representatives at the state level. it honestly doesn't appear that it's going to get funded. But it was for replacement of the what we call our East or Lake Erie pumping station. So we'll see if I can continue to put. I'm going to try to continue to push that forward. we'll see where that goes. The Senate side is due in April, so I'll be working on that. Now that's just inside the district. That's not something that the township is doing. But there is another one that is called the Water Resource Development Act, which in effect is a line item in the federal budget. So we're working with Marcy Kaptur's office right now to try to get funding for that. Mark was listed as the township representative for that particular effort. So if I don't know if you guys wanted to do a simple motion or how you wanted to do it, but
we don't need a motion for that. I mean, we're just acknowledging that he's
going
to be.
So I'll change it to Alex, and that way we've got that box checked on that front. Again, I don't know we're going to get a positive response on the funding, but it was a request for $3.2 million. And we'll see where it goes.
That's new pumps and everything, totally.
No, now that one, $3.2 million was actually for doing work on the levees.
Oh, levees.
The east pumping station one was about $970,000.
Wow.
Where we apparently fell short in our application was that they wanted us to have 40% matching funds. And we don't have that kind of resource right now. So, but I'm going to continue to press and see what we can do, and just all we can do is keep asking and see where we go. I'm currently working on a project for a client of mine right now, southwest of here, that we were able to get 95% funding for them. So it's possible, it just takes time, we just got to keep pecking away at it. The other thing I wanted to just bring up was that we are in the process of formalizing some steps on behalf of the district that need to be addressed. One of those steps is to re-engage with what's called a board of appraisers. So wanted to bring it up here, and hopefully folks are listening as well, that we will be seeking applications for the board of appraisers positions. There's three that will need to be appointed. We'll go through a process of reviewing applications, and then we would submit something to the Court of Common Pleas. The Court of Common Pleas actually appoints the Board of Appraisers based upon our recommendations. So that's coming up, and we're going to try to get that closed out hopefully by the end of the second quarter.
Can you give any detail on what that entails?
So there, it's outlined within the revised code. In effect, the Board of Appraisers would look at what we're doing from a from an assessment standpoint to pay for the projects that we have ongoing and what we're proposing to do for the future. And their part of the process is to confirm what we've provided in terms of calculations of what's the benefit. And as long as the benefit outweighs the cost, then we can continue to move forward. But it's up to the Board of Appraisers to make that form, that independent recommendation ultimately to the Court of Common Pleas. So then we can continue forward with the operations.
Basically said, you guys aren't wasting money. You're doing what's beneficial to the township, to the district.
That's a good way of putting it. Yeah.
So would that be made up of members of the township? Would that be someone who lives in the county? What does that look like? I know.
So technically it can be anyone who is... they don't have to be a property holder within the district itself, okay? Ideally, it'd be nice to have people that are at least in the township and or at least somewhere in relative proximity. I mean, I'm over in Monclova Township, and I'm over here doing this. I mean, it's people that are familiar with the process of looking at land valuations and being able to discern whether what we're proposing makes sense.
So would this be someone that specifically, are they like reviewing like real estate property values, or what exactly would the tasks entail?
It's not just real estate value, but it's also applying, now we're getting, I don't want to get too
people
far
are going to ask me,
yeah,
so that's
I,
why I
wanted
I,
to I
ask.
Understand that. I'll tell you what, probably the easiest thing for me to do is let me get a section of the revised, I'll pull out the piece of the revised code.
Sure.
And we'll try to get some kind of a better outline to get in your hands. And I believe we may already have something started to draft up. So I know Elvis was working on that. So, yeah. Unfortunately, I mean, this is one of these things where I only have so much capacity inside here. So, I'm trying to keep things clean.
You don't read the Ohio Revised Code just for fun?
No, not for fun, no. But our next meeting is coming up on March 11th, and that will be at 7 p.m. out here. We should have information about these issues posted on our website, and I know we've had a lot of discussion about it within our meeting minutes, and so all those are up to date and posted right now. Beyond that, it's really just, again, encouraging keeping frequent and open communication and discussion between the groups because there's obviously a lot of overlap in terms of what we do, at least within the footprint of the district itself.
So I do have a follow-up question. So you, sure. You mentioned that you, can you tell me a little bit more about your proposal at the state level for funding? Was that like a sponsored bill, or like what exactly was that?
So the state level was actually, there's money through the ARPA program, what was it, American, I can't remember what the acronym stand for anymore, but ARPA is federal money that came to the state level. The state level then is able to, they basically got tens of millions of dollars that are sitting there for public infrastructure. And then it basically comes down to each representative for the state, which Josh Williams is the representative out here, is able to bring forward a proposal for a project and try to get it funded through that ARPA program. And it falls under the state biennium, so their biennial budget. So it would actually come under calendar year 25 is when the funding would become available. That's where we are right now. The House of Representatives, an article in the Blade the other day that talked about it. There, I think there was about four or five projects within Lucas County that got funded, at least preliminarily through the House of Representatives. Ours was not on that list. And then the Senate side of it, which hopefully we'll still have a fighting chance in there. And that's through Paula Hicks Hudson's office. We have to apply.
Okay. Yeah, that covers it for me.
Okay. Yeah. The WERDA program is at the federal level, again, through Marcy.
Gotcha.
Through Marcy's
okay.
office. So, but one of the challenges we have is that these programs take a lot of administrative time and energy to do. So I am reaching out also to Mike Panuski's office to see if we could potentially get support from them to help us just to get through some of the administrative things. There's a program through Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, and it's just to get the pre-application filled out to get to a point of being able to submit a formal application. Would probably be, if you had somebody dedicated to it, would probably be about 80 hours. So that's what I'm saying. We need some help trying to pursue this stuff. So, anyways, that's where we are. I appreciate your time.
Thank you for what you do, Adam.
Yeah, thanks for driving all the way out here.
Happy to do it.
Okay, we'll move on to old business. There'll be a Zoom meeting February 29th at 10 to 11. I plan on being on it. So.
Is that Thursday? I think. Yeah. Is that Thursday?
I'm pretty sure that is. Is it, Bill?
Yes, it is.
Yes, 29th, yes. That's already in my calendar. So. I don't like how it all links together. I didn't even accept the invitation. It's already in my calendar. So.
Next one is the State of Communities report, Bo.
So, I did not make it, and I had to end up having a contractor call me the night before, late, to come to the house and do work, and I knew you were out of town.
Yep.
So I did not make it this year to the State of the Union address.
Okay. Tarda.
Alrighty, so I talked with a Tarda representative about what kind of services they can offer out in the township. It's a lot more complicated than it seems. So if I understand it correctly, there's three different types of TARDIS services. You've got your, what's the name? They're like traditional routes where they have a bus that goes along a fixed route. That's mm-hmm. the term, fixed route. So you've got fixed routes. You've got TARPS, which is more of an individual level transportation service that helps people like over the age of 65 and people who are in wheelchairs, that sort of a thing. And then you have this newer program called Tarda Flex, which you actually download an app where you can call the phone number too, and you pre-schedule a ride, and they come out with like a bus or a van. Like it's on an individual basis where they'll pick up an individual person. So the city of Oregon does have, so they've obviously, if you've seen around Oregon, the new bus service that comes through Oregon. And Oregon also has the Flex service as well, where you can schedule these pickups and drop-offs. There's some limitations if you use the Flex service. Like if you want to go outside of a certain district, you have to take a fixed transportation line. They'll take you, like, for example, if you're somewhere in Bayshore area, they'll pick you up at the Flex service. They'll take you down to Walmart, and you can hop on a TARDA bus there and continue on through your path. So currently, they do offer the Flex service in the township on a very tiny basis. So the Flex service covers, the representative I talked to at TARDA basically said the entrance of Maumee Bay State Park is the extent of what the Flex service covers. Now, when I actually downloaded their app and looked at their map, their Flex service covers up to North Curtis Road. So actually, I think he was wrong on that, where they actually cover like the gas station, High Flash. Actually, your shop is on there too, right at the extent of it. So if somebody, if I understand it correctly, somebody from your place could call for a ride and they would be able to get that Flex service from your location, but they currently don't offer anything
past
North Curtis Road. Now, they wouldn't be opposed to expanding service into the township if we were interested in getting expanded Flex service. We would have to kind of go up the food chain a little higher and probably meet with some of the I was actually given a specific name of a TARDA representative that we could meet with if we were interested in them expanding the Flex service into the township at a future point. I don't know how you guys feel like that.
So the Flex service, there's a designated point, is what you're saying, that they pick up at. So like if we, let's use this for example, I'm just going to use Jack's. So if we said we want to extend it, the pickup point would be, or Howard Marsh, the front entrance. So you would go to that location, you get picked up there. They don't come to your house like an Uber.
No, they do come to your.
Oh, they do.
Yeah, it's very different because they do come to your specific location when you're within. They have different Flex zones around the city, and the Flex zone over here is mostly Oregon and that little sliver of the township. So if we did have Flex service, it would come right to your front door.
Okay.
But they wouldn't take you. Let's say you called for a ride at Jack's, and you say, I want to go to the mall on all the way across town in Sylvania.
They're going to drop you off at Walmart.
They're going to drop you off at Walmart. So you can go from anywhere point A to point B within a Flex zone with that first call. If you want to go any farther than that, you have to get transferred to a fixed route. There's no additional fee to get transferred. You just hop from one to the other, so you're not paying extra. But that's kind of the gist how it works. And if you if anyone's interested, you can download the TARDA Flex app and just kind of scroll through it and play with it.
There's a cost per use, right?
Correct. At least for the Oregon side, it looked like there was a cost per use of $3, like for a ride, which seems incredibly cheap to me.
Yeah.
But obviously, it's getting funded by taxpayers too, because we pay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we pay for that service, which we don't currently get in the township. I think that's where our biggest beef is. I mean, if it's.
Did you ask him that?
Why? I didn't get into that.
Okay.
I can ask him that if you'd like me to.
Yeah, I think we should, because if we're paying into it, let's do it, you know.
Well, that all got switched now. It's all sales tax, right?
Correct.
It isn't off the property tax anymore.
Correct.
For years, we all got hosed with the property tax paying for it. But
for sure. So, I mean, the impact is a little less on our residents. Should we?
Do you think? I mean, we could look into it. I would be curious to see if they would be willing to go all the way to, you know, Howard Farms or Bono. Even I that's a long haul for them.
Yeah.
You could see what like, and they may ask that we do it, and this might be something like, what if we did this in stages? Like we say, okay, we'd like to expand it to Cushnell Road or Decant. You know, and that, I mean, that's a big section, you know,
for
north
sure,
and
yeah.
south to, you know, the east and west line. That might be an easier way of getting it done. I mean, I don't know. You have to talk to them and see. I mean, I don't think it hurts to have the conversation.
Sure. Yeah.
I think so, too.
Okay. Yeah. I'll spend some time and go up the food chain, see what I can find out. I mean, it would, for people who don't have a driver's license or specifically, like, with the TARP service, like, trying to remember how he explained it. I think both the Flex and TARP service, all of the vehicles have like the wheelchair accessible, ADA accessible. Okay. So if we did get service out of here, it would definitely help people over over 65 or if they were disabled too and needed that wheelchair assistance, that would like be able to get people around without having their own means of driving, basically. I mean, we are paying. Yeah. When we pay sales tax out here, we are funding TARDA. We're just not currently receiving services directly.
I don't have a problem with us investigating it and see what
I think so too.
Yeah, I will continue up the food chain.
Is it easier for some of the older people though? You know, a lot of the older people don't know how to get on. You know, can they call too?
Yes. So I'll have to double check that. For the Flex service, I don't know that you can call, but for the TARP service, you can call. Okay. Which is nice that they include that too. They make that distinction for, you know, older people who obviously might have some difficulties with technology. That is nice that they offer the phone number too.
Can I make a comment?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you imagine putting my 86-year-old father on one of those Flex buses and have him dropped off in front of Walmart, especially if he had a wheelchair? There's no covering there. There's nowhere for him to sit. He was going to stand there and wait for a bus?
So there is a difference. That'd be more of a question directed at TARDA, but there is a difference between the Flex service and the TARP service. So if I understand it correctly, if you take the Flex service, you'd be getting a ride to Walmart to go across town. If you were using the TARP service, if I understand it correctly, they would give you more of a direct ride. They wouldn't transfer you, that sort of thing. Okay. But I would have to clarify that with TARP.
And I'm assuming there's going to be shelters built in Oregon
coming up.
Now they've got these fixed routes. So,
and I'll ask them about that,
too. That's running for
ask them if they're
going
to put something there at Walmart, yeah. Now, do they stop the hospital somewhere, too?
Yeah.
Right.
I think they stop in St. Charles.
I've seen them stop around there. I haven't paid that much attention.
I think it's Walmart, St. Charles, Bay Park.
Where do they do it at St. Charles?
Well, if somebody needs a ride to...
No, I mean, where is the station?
Oh, I don't know where it's at.
Oh, yeah, I have no idea.
I know where I saw it, or I've seen it at Walmart, is like behind the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it right there.
So yeah. I'm assuming you're probably going to see a shelter built there soon at some point.
If somebody will complain, they'll do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll ask him about that. But I definitely see your point of view, because at one point I was caring for my grandma with Alzheimer's, and she lived in Oregon at the time, and we were upset that TARDA at the time wasn't providing service for her to transport her around. So I totally get your point of view.
Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the blood drive's been moved to the 20th of February.
So. Yep. Did you check? Okay.
Yeah.
I saw it was on there, but I didn't see the date.
Okay. Any more questions on that or no? Okay, we'll move on then to 511741 Corduroy Road. I talked to Mr. Mann today too. I finally caught him. And I guess we're not the only ones that's in trouble. Richfield, Springfield Township, and Spencer Township have the same problem. So I was thinking maybe we should get together with those three and see what we can do together as a body.
Richfield, Spencer Township. Who was the other one?
Richfield and Springfield and Spencer.
Spencer.
I thought that was interesting. So I thought I'd get, and Mark was trying to get them, the zoning inspectors, together, and that would have been good for everybody. But
at the township meeting?
Well, no, just come there.
That was brought up at, yeah.
Yeah. So I'll try and make contact with these.
So if I understand it correctly, they had similar properties that they had similar issues with?
Yeah, same thing.
Gotcha, okay. Yeah. And this is in terms of like how the cleanup was handled or?
The asbestos.
Okay.
The grant, yeah.
Yeah, the asbestos. So I guess I'll kind of look at that. If you guys want to look at it too, it's fine. The Bunning Road project was completed a couple of days ago. And Jerusalem Township signed, just so everybody knows, the fellow that lived there complained to the state. The state took it down, and I found out that we can't put our sign back up there. The state will not allow it there now, And so there, the state will put up a sign that says Jerusalem Township on it. One of those green ones like you see anywhere else. So I guess we'll put our sign. We haven't decided yet, but we'll figure that out. We'll put it somewhere, Seaman Road or
Corduroy.
Corduroy or something, yeah. Yeah. They haven't complained about the one down there yet. The Ottawa County guy I talked to said that one was okay, and he said this one was okay too, but when somebody complained, we got in trouble. And I know somebody's going to say, well, Oregon's got that nice one across the road. Oregon can get away with it. We can.
Different. They're a city.
Yeah, they're a city. That's it,
and
right there.
And they plow that section there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that wouldn't be a bad idea.
You have a question, Jim?
Yeah, I know this is out of order at the time, but I noticed yesterday, could you work with Oregon and put it on the back side of their sign right on Corduroy? They have one on the north side of Corduroy, a real nice one, and that sign would fit on the opposite side, the back side, the no print.
I don't ever go that way. Good idea. I'll go by and look
check,
at that.
Check that out and then ask Oregon if we can use the back side of their post.
The sign he's talking about is similar to the one they have on Route 2. Isn't it like pretty much identical?
Yeah, it's a real nice sign. I mean, you know, poured concrete with steel posts and a real, real nice sign.
Yeah.
But that would leave the backside coming east for our sign to be written.
Well, take a look at it. I was thinking too, Jim, up on Route 2, if we took it off the right of way, right where that last house is in that farm field, if the whoever owns that would allow us to put it there too. I haven't checked to see if you could see it good from there either. It's so far in, you know. But yeah, there's some different ideas we got to come up with. We won't just put it in the shop and let it sit there. Okay. Any other old business?
No. The only thing I got something new business, something minor.
I guess I can go on the old Otarma Winter Conference report. I went to about 3 or 4 different meetings, and one was a legislative update, and it's pretty interesting. They're even, we got all them big factories moving in down there, you know, the batteries and all that, down by Columbus. And the builders don't like all these rules and regulations. So they're talking about doing away with township regulations, and the state's going to have all the zoning. So we wouldn't have any say then.
Like the state would have authority over township zoning completely?
Completely.
Interesting. How would that work on townships that don't have zoning?
Well, they'd have it.
Wow. So that would,
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So yeah, it was very interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
And this is zoning, not building standards?
Might be zoning. There's building standards and zoning.
Well, sure. Yeah, but there's like a distinction between the two. So this would be both?
No, I'm not sure about that.
Because everywhere in the state of Ohio is building standards, just not zoning.
It's supposed to be zoning.
It must be zoning then, okay. Yeah, zoning. I'm curious. I'll have to look into that.
I stopped into one that had talked about resolutions versus motions, and that was interesting. And then I was networking a lot. I talked to like a lot of these fellows from Springfield, Spencer. I saw quite a few of them there, so I know them. So I'm going to call them up when I... And I went to Preserving Roads, and there was some ODOT funding. And we talked about the chip and seal. And that's about it. And the next one on 2... Joel had me put that in there. It's coming up, I know, but
he wants to table it till the next meeting since he wasn't here tonight.
Oh, he didn't say that when he called me.
Well,
okay.
He emailed me late today and said, "Hey, just table that one." I apologize.
Okay, that's why I was wondering. He wasn't going to be here, and then he didn't say anything about it either. Okay, we'll move on to 3. The membership appointment for you, Alex. I'll show you what I did here. I had to fill it out for the water quality.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I attended their meeting yesterday. Yeah. That was a pretty interesting meeting. TMCOG is like a regional organization of governments, and the Water Quality Council is like a just kind of like a subgroup within TMCOG. So I attended their Water Quality Council meeting. It was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Yesterday. It was pretty interesting. They went over mostly issues related to the algal and nutrient problems in the lake. They had a guest speaker. There were supposed to be two guest speakers. There was only one of them couldn't make it. There was a lawyer from an environmental and policy organization that covered kind of like what's going on with the algae or the nutrient issues right now. And it was pretty interesting. What they described is that basically the US EPA and Ohio EPA, if I understand it correctly, they have set, let me give a little backstory. If you're not familiar, we have the algal problem in the lake, and it's driven by primarily by phosphorus runoff from several different sources. And the issue that's happening right now is the US EPA and Ohio EPA have set like a cap, like a quota of how much phosphorus can go into the waterways and eventually into Lake Erie. And they've set a cap, but they've set a cap on the whole amount of phosphorus and not specifically the phosphorus that the algae can actually use for growth. So it's kind of, they're trying to do the right thing. They just didn't do they're trying to do the right thing. It's just not working. It's not the right, they didn't pass the right legislation, basically. So there's a couple groups in the works. Very interesting that they're potentially going to sue the US EPA so they could change the regulations. So that was quite interesting. That was all stuff way above us here at the township, but it was just interesting to attend and listen to that. That's mostly what I have on the Water Quality Council meeting. That's about
wait
it.
Wait till the end fight. You say
that's, oh boy.
I got them walked out of them because they were fighting. They were like.
Were they?
Oh, I was like, I don't have time for this. If you guys
are it was the Water Quality Council meeting or the stormwater?
Stormwater.
Oh, okay. This was the whole Water Quality Council. It was very tame. Wait, it was like in and out.
Yeah, wait till you get to the stormwater. That is.
That's
next month. There's been days I'm like, no, I ain't got time for you guys. I mean, Lucas County is the big player in it.
Yeah.
They kind of, it's interesting.
Yeah.
That's why I don't know if I'll ever see it, but that Curtis Williston sewers, that's all that phosphorus is going into Cedar Creek there. And that's, Alex, when you're there in the summer, you can't even stand it. It stinks.
So from runoff from like failed septic systems?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's bad.
I'll have to go check that out because I'm not familiar with it.
It stinks in the summertime. Yeah.
It's funny because like our shop there, they test us every year. It costs me $200. They come in and test because they're so on that because of that area.
That area.
Yep.
Yeah, interesting.
That area is hot. Being we did all this, maybe why don't we make a motion to appoint Alex Litton for the water quality, the Temecog Water Quality Council.
I can second that.
Okay. Roll call. Dave Bench. Yes. Alex Litton.
Yes.
Bill Miller.
Yes.
David Bench made the motion. Bill Miller seconded. Okay, we did that. Bo, what'd you have? You said you had something?
Yeah, I did have one thing here. So I've been on the phone quite a bit with Republic Services here lately. There some issues have arose in the township and, you know, trying to get some of these things taken care of. One of the things they're going to do, I don't know when they're going to do it, but I did ask them to do it, is they are going to do an audit of the route of the township. They have concerns that there are double cans out there at places that should not be having double cans that are not paying for it. So they're going to do an audit, bring back the findings. Because they're still fighting through some of the old All-Star cans. So what that does, it keeps it fair for the township. That way, when a year, when they come back for our, you know, to re-up our agreement, they're like, well, you guys are taking this much trash in and we're not budgeted for that.
There's nothing wrong with that.
So they're going to do an audit on that. And the other thing that he did say, and Alex, I'll ask if you put this on the Township Facebook page.
Sure.
Soon, is to remember they're running into a lot of issues, especially with it being windy, where people are not bagging the trash in the cans. So when they dump the can, it blows everywhere.
And the driver, and I have witnessed it, is jumping out of the truck, trying to grab what he can, but he can't get it all. So they said that that's reduces that amount for the township in there. So if we can, you know, do you have anybody that's got the can, try to bag it when it goes in there, so when they dump it.
That is bad. I've seen it too.
Maybe we can just put a reminder out on the Facebook and be like, hey, you know.
Yeah.
It'll help keep the township cleaner is what it boils down to.
So when they do this audit, are they going to like double check that every house has a can and things like that?
Yeah, because okay, cool. And that's where we're running into the issue is I get a call about a can that, well, I've never had a can from day one. And I call them and they look the address up and they're like, that they have a can. We know they have a can. We know they told me exactly what it looked like, you know what I mean, everything on it. So what he did was they went out and they swapped the can. So they took the one that was there and put a brand new one
down. Okay.
So he goes, and that's what we run into. I think there are some extra cans out there in the township that should not be out in the township.
Ah, gotcha.
I mean, if you want to pay for it, that's great, you know, perfect, you know, but what you know, you're getting taxed for one can. So they're going to do the audit.
And sounds good.
I don't know when. I would assume it'd be coming up soon or in the spring. So
that's money to them. They'll be pretty quick, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's all I had on the Republic thing. I ain't going to get into the other thing yet until I'm working with Otarma on something. So I want to get a little more information on that one. So that's all I had for.
Okay.
Alex, you done? Yep.
Okay, public participation, regular board business. Each person addressing the board shall give his or her name and will be allotted 5 minutes. And please come to the podium so your comments can be recorded properly. That's the fiscal officer asked that.
Anybody?
Oh, yeah, we forgot about you, didn't we? Let's have the Friends of Maumee Bay State Park.
Good evening. I'm Val Virag. I'm a resident of the township. I'm also one of your election poll officials. I've seen many of you at the elections. And this is Dave Ferguson, the president of Friends of Maumee Bay State Park.
Guys, well, and ladies, I'm not leaving anybody out, and I don't mean to have my back to you. We're announcing something new that's going to be coming into the park this spring. I don't know if anyone's ever played disc golf, but we are in the process of putting in an 18-hole disc golf course out at the park this summer. And we are very excited. We are in the process right now of asking for sponsorship for the holes. We're selling holes. And she's got packets she'll hand out to you all. If you're not familiar with disc golf, it's one of the top three sports in the United States right now. Currently, there's over 300,000 members in the Professional Disc Golf Association. I did Google in Ohio, there are 388 courses. In this area, we have one course currently. It's over at the Ottawa Park. And this thing, when it's done, it's not gonna necessarily be in the township, it'll be out there in the area, that big hill, the sledding hill at the park, in and around that hill. There's gonna be two different tees that'll be able to use. It's gonna go from 4,900 yards to the professional course, which will be 6,200 yards. And we are very excited about this. We've gotten a number of donations coming in for this. And the sponsorships, if you do donate for a hole, it's $1,000. That gets you a 10-year sponsorship for a particular hole. And we do have a number of these already committed. And we're just letting you know all about it. I don't know if Jerusalem Township wants to sponsor a hole. That's outside of what I'm doing to you. I'm just telling you that we are bringing this to the park this summer. And we are very excited to be putting this in. So anyone have any questions?
So I do have when you just out of general curiosity, when you do make a sponsorship for one of these holes, is there like signage on each hole? Is there like a main sign? How does that work?
What it's going to be is there's going to be a board at the number one hole that's going to have a place for 18 names on it. And the sponsors for each of those 18 holes will be on that particular sign. Each of the holes will just have, like, hole number three. It'll have a layout of that particular hole and the yardage on it. But the sponsors will be only at the front, at the main entrance.
Okay.
And that's because of the state. The state said we wanted to put them on each hole and have their names predominant, but they said we can't do that. And your name will stay on there for 10 years.
Right.
So it boils down to $100 a year. Mm-hmm. And the course is free for anybody.
But I can leave this with you guys. This has information, and again, just kind of shows you the layout.
Yeah, thank you.
Of that and all. If you're familiar with the park, this area right here is the pond for the big hill. So this is the big hill. This is the pond.
Oh, okay.
And you kind of, you know, go from there from it. So again, we're very excited to be letting you know about it. And yeah, it's the same map. It's just on a little larger scale. So
there'll be one bucket over in the campground just for practicing.
We're going to put one hole over there just to let people kind of get used to it. And they'll probably sell some starter kits in the store for, you know, somebody just wants to go out and try it. So the shorter course is for the families. Whereas we're going to, we definitely plan on having tournaments out there. We'll have more as we go. Once we get established, I think it's going to be really quite an addition for the park.
And you said there's going to be a practice hole in the campground?
In the campground, yes.
And one by number one hole.
There'll be a practice hole out in the day use area as well, just that people can just warm up.
We have a lot of professionals that have been helping us design the course, and they're really excited because of all the obstacles at Maumee Bay. Mm-hmm. It, you know, they offered them the big open field. They said, no, we want the trees because we want to have to move around them.
Shoot around
them. So they're really excited.
So the longest hole with the professional courses is going to be over 600 yards. That's going to be quite a challenge for any golfer. And it's
just more fun things to do outside.
Yeah, so thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
I saw this down in Florida.
Did you? Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's, if you've ever played it, it is quite enjoyable. It's challenging.
Anybody else?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Dane Boland. You had brought up something about when you were talking about public services, and it just kind of made me think that I wanted to ask a question about upcoming birthday and garbage pickup in the township. I have done a section of corduroy for the last several springs, but I see like from Minky all the way down to the end where corduroy turns at East is just both sides of the road. Is there any, I know that Mark had talked at one point about establishing a corporation for a friends group. Has there ever been discussion about just a friends group? I was involved, and Ferguson, Dave can tell you a little more about that. When we first established the Friends of Maumee Bay group, it was so that they could be fundraising because we had issues with the state where the state couldn't collect money. So they had a friends group coming. I'm not thinking so much about collecting money for things, although I could talk about that as well. But I'm thinking more like, do we have a group of volunteers? Would the township be willing to organize and provide garbage bags? Do we have vests? Could we get somebody, or is there a group of residents that ever do anything like that?
I do. You go to state. The state gives you the vest and everything. You call them up, and we usually do it twice a year, maybe a long route too, if you've seen the signs. And
so you're talking about Adopt a Highway.
Yeah.
I was involved with that with the Waterkeeper Association. I'll tell you, they haven't cleaned it for 10 years.
And corduroy is
up
on
the
state
route too.
I'm not sure if with
there's a lady, and she, well, we did that cleanup at the beach access up there. For Reno, I think Tracy was, Bill, you were there with me. We a group of us went up there. We cleaned all that out.
This county, beautiful. I mean, that
she, her name's Sherry Myers. She lives up there. I don't know if you know who Sherry is.
I don't.
She goes and gets all that stuff, the gloves, the vests from there for Earth Day, and she goes around and does some of that cleanup down there. I think she does it down there more. Down by maybe her area.
Mm-hmm.
But there was never once, nothing's been ever established. It would be probably a good add-on to some of the other groups that are out there. I mean,
if there was a window of time, then maybe we could get Republic to come and pick it up as opposed to having to put it in our own personal dumpsters too. That's the concern.
Well, you know, that would be something that I would not have a problem with if there was a, if you guys organized a day and said we're gonna do it this day, I would not have a problem either myself or one of the other trustees, or maybe we can even get Kevin Eric to go and pick it the bagged up and bring it back here.
Well, it's just something I do every year, and I post it on Facebook and I say, hey, you butt heads, quit throwing garbage.
Right.
But, you know,
I mean, you see it now this time of the year in the heart of, you know, I mean, I still have a lot on Howard that's got a whole bunch of crap.
After the, usually after the snow melts is when you really start seeing
it.
Yeah,
and then by the middle of summer, you don't notice it.
Yeah.
The wind blows it sometimes
away. It's there, and I'd love to just do a community thing with a sign that says, hey, please love your township and don't throw your crap out the window.
The state actually picks it up for us. We just leave the bags there and they come pick it up.
Really?
For the highway cleanup, you just have to tell them when you're going to be out there.
Karen, we'll help.
I will just email my concerns and I'll copy all of you so I have documentation.
Okay. I'm going to real quick go back to Dana. I want you and I work on the sign.
Sure.
We'll get something on the sign, just a reminder of like to clean up. You know what I mean? Like just keep your township beautiful, however you want to put it.
And maybe we can... You know, I can talk to Alex or you guys.
We can work through, we can maybe work through some of the logistics of that.
It'd be nice. I would think that at least a couple people would be willing to come out and help.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Gary Williams? Aaron Gray? I guess that's it. No one else? Bo?
I move to adjourn tonight's meeting.
I'll second that.
Roll call. Bo Miller.
Yes.
Alex Litton.
Yes.
Dave Bench. Yes. Bo Miller made the motion. Alex seconded it.
Gentlemen, I didn't bring it up. I don't know if you guys know you're ready.
The solar eclipse coming April 8th.